97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the suspension of Ohio State football coach Urban Meyer. Our guest, Richard Southall, director of the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina. So, Richard, on Wednesday night, Meyer got suspended for three games for essentially not reporting issues involving one of his assistant coaches and domestic violence. I watched the press conference and, of course, have read lots of comment about the press conference. Two things really stood out to me. When the investigator said, and this is not a direct quote, what he knew what he was saying wasn't true, but he didn't deliberately lie. Is that, what? Were you struck by that as well?
I read that closely, and I have the investigative report in front of me. And on two occasions, on page 21 of the report, it says, although it is a close question and we cannot rule out that Coach Meyer was intentionally misleading in his answers, we do not ultimately find that he was. He clearly misspoke and made misstatements, but the reasons that happened are complex. Coach Meyer did not, in our view, deliberately lie.
Well,
this investigative report in this situation is going to be used for years in ethics courses because the notion, there's a definition of lying that I looked up on the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy. And what the most widely accepted definition of lying is, a lie is a statement made by one who does not believe it with the intention that someone else shall be led to believe it. So, it's making a statement believed to be false with the intention of getting others to accept it as true. And so this intentionality that they are not willing to have, if he didn't deliberately lie, you can't unintentionally lie.
Yeah, how do you accidentally lie?
That's right. And so throughout this is a very interesting document that was produced, which interestingly, the document was not released until after the press conference, which I thought was most often, if there's a report that's going to be discussed, it's released ahead of time to the media. Is that right, Charlie?
Typically, that's the case. And while we're there, Richard, I was really struck by how weak the questioning from the journalist was. For example, right. Only toward the tail end does someone ask him about the victim, the wife. And he says something like, well, I'm sorry, we're in this situation. Well,
right.
You could have kept this situation from getting to the point that it got to.
Right. This was not the best, and I don't intentionally use the, I don't want the word to be seen to be pejorative, but I thought it was not a strong performance by Urban Meyer. I think his reading of the prepared statement reflected, in my opinion, that he probably hadn't read it. I doubt that he drafted it. And so the optics of that were not good. And there were a number of things in the report. On page 19, they write, we cannot logically square Coach Meyer's responses on Big Ten Media Days broadly denying knowledge of the 2015 events regarding Zach Smith with his extensive knowledge of these events in 2015 and the evident knowledge of AD Gene Smith of the 2015 events reflected in the group text message on July 23rd or 24th, 2018. Well, there is a logical way to square his responses. He was lying, and that's a difficult point because if you look at the policies and procedures that Ohio State has in place on how this needed to have been taken care of, and both Myers and Smith's employment contracts, there's some problems from a human resource management standpoint that they had to dance around so they could come up with a suspension. Because while in many other instances, if this had happened in another department, an academic department, that this situation was taking place and it involved, faculty, much of the same procedure might have been followed. But what the university and the athletic department are having to do is to represent the situation so that it gives the appearance of a very in-depth investigation. The coach and the AD have to be remorseful, and then you move forward. I doubt very seriously now that Urban Meyer is going to take questions on this when he comes back. I'm sure he will say, it was investigated. I accept the report. I accept the president's suspension of me, and we want to move on as a family and get better, et cetera, et cetera. So this is what you have to do in a crisis management situation, and they followed the textbook way to do it, and I think they'll move forward.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about the suspension of football coach at Ohio State, Urban Meyer. We're talking with Richard Southall. Richard, you talked about the university following the textbook approach, not really saying anything, non-apology, apology. And, I look at that compared to Maryland, that had the player die by being pushed too hard by what the president of Maryland said were bully coaches. They accepted responsibility. They stepped up and they said, you know what, we messed up here. So they didn't take the textbook approach, but Ohio State did. Do you see the real juxtaposition between these two very recent cases?
The Maryland situation is, quantum times greater in the results. I mean, a human being, a young man died. I think what happened in the Ohio State situation reflects on elements of subculture. He talked about in the report, and Urban Meyer talked about it, about the importance of loyalty. And when this first occurred, I was on another radio show, and I spoke to him, and I said, "This is how athletics is. Athletics is a very closed subculture. The saying that what goes on in the locker room stays in the locker room is an adage that athletes hear and are talked about, or are inculcated in. And I think that's indicative of what took place here. The lineage of Earl Bruce to Urban Meyer to Zach Smith, and that, when Urban Meyer was a young graduate assistant, Earl Bruce was his mentor, and he was doing that. And he said he reacted with his heart and not his head. Well,
when he said that, Richard, my first thought was, where is your heart when it comes to Courtney Smith?
That's right. And it's a, you know, any time, you know, is loyalty the virtue? Because loyalty says, I will have your back on anything. Well, that's what Urban Meyer was demonstrating, was that he had, quote unquote, the back of one of his coaches, almost regardless of what Zach Smith ever did. And that is, you know, and now Zach Smith has fallen on the sword, and it, that's also part of, you know, that subordinates will fall on the sword of the boss, of the leader, to protect him. And that's clearly what Zach Smith was trying to do in his interviews and so on and so forth following this. So, like I said, this is a case study that in not only sport ethics classes, but in ethics classes, I'm sure this will be used for a number of years to come.
Yeah, I thought the whole thing was bizarre, actually, from beginning to end. And again, picking specific things. And again, I'm very disappointed with the media representatives who were there for asking what were essentially softball questions almost the whole time.
Right.
How has this affected you, Urban? You know, really? Come on. But one thing in particular, when asked about the text messages, and these are messages between Courtney Smith and Urban Meyer's wife, mm-hmm. Shelley, I didn't know about the text messages. I'll guarantee you that if someone under me was guilty of spousal abuse and my wife knew about it, I would know about it.
Well, and it's interesting that I found it interesting that Urban Meyer's wife, who is also an Ohio State University employee, was not, from my reading of this report, she was not, because I'm looking at it to find out who was reviewed. Key witnesses included Coach Meyer, A.D. Smith, Courtney Smith, and Zach Smith. Interviewed key personnel in the football and the athletic staff, et cetera, et cetera. At no time does it look as if Coach Meyer's wife was ever interviewed.
Even though this was reportedly the woman in who Courtney Smith was confiding. The coach's wife was the confidant of the woman who was allegedly being abused, and they didn't interview her.
And that's the question. The reason that is relevant is if she's an Ohio State University employee, does she have a reporting duty? So that was never addressed, and no member of the media that I know of has asked that question or did ask that question of them. So I think there's, you know, if you are on one side of the situation, you say, okay, they did their due diligence and so on and so forth. But as we know today, truth isn't truth anymore. So this is an interesting situation.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about the suspension of Ohio State football coach Urban Meyer. Our guest is Richard Southall, University of South Carolina. Richard, looking at the coverage of this and online comments and what have you, I would say the consensus is Urban Meyer got a slap on the wrist. Would you concur with that?
Well, if you in many ways, yes, I think that's an accurate description. But if you look at the policies and procedures manual, the human resources manual, when I read through that initially a couple 3 weeks ago, because I was asked, do you think Urban Meyer is going to be fired? And I said, I don't think he'll be fired. I think he'll be suspended. And I think if you look at that's why policies and procedures are in place, because then you can use them in situations like this. And so I think Urban Meyer did get a slap on the wrist. But I'm not, you know, this is a tough one because I think Ohio State had to make a decision about the severity of his lie. And that's really what they deal with on page 21 and page 19. You know, and they traded, you know, or they said, this is what we're willing to do to reprimand you. This is not a good day. You know, isn't the best thing to have leading in or going into the college football season with all the other things that, you know, players have gotten suspended for, four games for selling tennis shoes or selling workout shoes or whatever.
So one writer said that Meyer has lost his moral authority when it comes to this subject, because he's said a lot through the years about respecting women, being against violence, and yet he didn't report this. It's happened at least twice that we know of.
That's right.
Once when the assistant coach was with him at Florida, and now here at Ohio State 3 years ago when he knew about it. It's just now coming out in 18. But it strikes me as really odd that someone would ascribe the moral high ground to Urban Meyer at all, knowing what his record was at Florida with players being arrested right and left.
And that's always the mythology of college sport, is that through sport we learn virtue and honesty and hard work, et cetera. If that's the case that we learn that, I've always wondered why we need referees if the players have learned to be honest. You'd think that the players could patrol their own behaviors on the field or on the court, and that's surely not the case. And part of what you teach in coaching is how to go up to and cross the line or go right up to the line of what's illegal in a sporting activity as well. So, this does not reflect well on the virtues of college sport.
Another writer, I want to read this quote specifically for you and have you react to it. After this public hearing and all the failings, et cetera, quote, Ohio State football remains upright, powerful, perhaps even defiant. And isn't that really the point? And the writer goes on to say that, Ohio State, like others have before Ohio State, put football ahead of doing the right thing.
Yeah, because I tend to agree with that. The key element here is the definition of what is right. Because when I teach an ethics class, we talk about the difference between right and wrong, which deals with a deontological perspective, and good and bad, which deals with a consequentialist perspective. And, you know, the concept is called utilitarianism, and where you basically add up the benefits for doing this and the benefits for doing this other thing, and you find out which one has the greater benefit. And so the same reason that athletics is seen as the front porch of the university, all of the economic benefits, the sociocultural bonding benefits, all of those sorts of things, this is a reflection of that. I was at the University of Wisconsin this summer and went on to what's called the terrace behind the campus. And it was a Friday night, and there were at least 2,000 to 3,000 people there, families and generations, and they were all celebrating the University of Wisconsin, and they were all, they'd people take pictures with Bucky the Badger and all that stuff. And so what I think this is indicative of is that what we as a society have decided the benefits are of big-time college sport outweighed domestic issues dealing with domestic violence.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Richard Southall. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.